thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the only reason we'd get up early, the only reason we would be here right now doing this broadcast is so that our community can have a connection with Christ. And look at what a thing he's doing, what a job he's doing in our life through an exegetical study of his life. We continue to find ourselves in the Olivet Discourse, knowing that the Lord is actually teaching from the Mount of Olives, and there's an awful lot going on here. We've really been learning. The Olivet Discourse really deals with what we talked about, esca, meaning end, ology, so eschatology, meaning the study of end things, the study of end times. And we mentioned yesterday that we look at the study of end times from an entire Bible or biblical perspective. There's no one place that absolutely walks you through everything. So we may mention some other verses to you, or quite frankly, we may not go to the deepness you've been before or choose to go, but you can certainly look things up. I think we're covering an awful lot here, and I think you'll be real happy. We still find Kevin. He's down there in Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir. It's a rainy morning in Florida, but it's a good one. Hey, I wanted to share just a blessing if I could real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last night you mentioned we're so glad to have things for the community,
yeah.
And whatnot. And the church that I'm parked at starting this chapter has a ministry to first responders, which is really cool. They go every week. They take probably 20-inch pizza pan size trays of everything from cake, candy, cookies, banana nut bread. Oh, it just looks so good. But it was all sealed with plastic. You know, we couldn't get to it. But they, the women of the church and whatnot make this. But we went around to fire stations. I'm going to do this next week, Lord willing, too. Went around to fire stations, delivered them each a tray of this. And it was just so cool because, you know, I'm going and I'm just following the lead of the guy that normally goes. And I show up and he's like, all right, Kevin, tell him something. So yeah. He handed it to me and I just had to wing it. But it was really great because I got to tell him what I do and then tell him thank you for what you do and then talk about PTSD and then talk about Christ, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. What an honor to talk to first responders. And you could just tell for some of them, it was ringing a bell.
Oh, I know. That's great. What an opportunity. Praise God for opportunities like that. And folks, truthfully, you might be in a situation where you can ring a bell in your community. So give Kevin a note and say, hey, how's this church doing it? We do kind of the same thing here, but only on specific holidays like Easter or Christmas. And, you know, we deliver a bunch of food and a bunch of Bibles, a bunch of things like these guys are doing. So I'm really excited about that. So great news anyway. So today we're looking at, as we get into the study, we're looking at vigilance and faithfulness. And we find ourselves continuing on, as I mentioned, in Matthew, continuing on with the Olivet Discourse. But when we look at vigilance and faithfulness getting started, I want to share a couple verses away from the Matthew scripture. And I want to start off with 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So when you're looking at that word vigilance and you're thinking of being vigilant and faithfulness and be sober, the idea of having your head in the ball game, being a grown up, growing up. I read a book the other day and they said George Washington was the grown up of the Revolutionary War. Wherever he was, he took the grown up role. Wherever he was looking at all the options. Wherever he was going through and knowing his men, knowing his leaders. They called him the grown-up. They used the term, he was always sober. He was always vigilant. And I think that's what God wants from us as we go through life and as we deal with these traumas we've dealt with in life and PTSD in this world. Be the grown-up. And, you know, the Bible says over in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, always being prayed, praying forward. That looks like vigilance to me. That looks like faithfulness to me. Praying forward, praying for people. And you know, when you pray for folks, it does a few things. It goes up to God in a great conversation, showing you how you love them, respect them, trust them. And it goes out to the world in good works, and it helps people. And be that person, be that sober person, be that vigilant, faithful prayer warrior person. So just one, I want to give you this one illustration for somebody who is vigilant and faithful, not necessarily with the Lord. It kind of freaked me out. So a while back, Kevin, folks, I was streaming on Prime, and I came across this guy who freelance mountain climber. He didn't use hooks. He didn't use cords. He did stuff all by himself. Mm-hmm. He was a Canadian guy. It's called, I think, the Alpina. And but anyway, it's on Prime. You'll find it if you type in Alpine or Alpina or something like this. And this guy went from mountain to mountain. He was almost falling all the time. He was just absolutely convinced that there was something out there with God and what he needed in his life and things like that. Sadly, I'm going to give you the bad news at the end of the movie, because I don't want you guys watching this with your kids and saying, man, Doug told us to watch this, and the guy died. But folks, let me tell you this. This guy had a vigilance and faithfulness for something that had nothing to do with God. Boy, if we could have that, Kevin, if we could have that for God.
Yes, sir. Wow. And also thought at the end that you could, you know, what was the fatal mistake? Because sometimes, you know, we do real well and then we drop our vigilance. And I'm not saying he did that. You know, it's probably statistics caught up with them. But really, what you choose such good topics here, vigilance and faithfulness. And I was looking through the scriptures we're going to cover and how it fits in with that. But, you know, that's something that when we drop our guard, this is where I'm kind of going with it. Vigilance, you know, be circumspect. The Bible says walk circumspectly. In other words, always keep your, guard up, you know, the vigilance, faithfulness, you know, guard duty reminds me of what vigilance and faithfulness would be like. And so we're to keep or guard our heart with all diligence. But the scripture, you know, gives an illustration of someone that was not vigilant and faithful. Ahab, he defeated Ben-Hadad's army, and then he let Ben-Hadad, he was the Syrian king, live. And you know what? Whenever we are making advances on God's side of things, we need to be vigilant and faithful to follow through, because if we just drop our guard and kind of say, you know, sit on our leads, or like Ahab, what he did is he got political, and Ben-Hadad's like, hey, Ahab, man, you know, are we still buddies? We're good guys. You know, yeah, we had to have this fight, but you defeated our army, and, you know, let me go home and I'll be nice. And so he got political. And what happened is God sent a prophet, and the prophet had this narrative, this story, and this is what he said. The prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. So the prophet had been wounded by someone, and the king passed by, cried unto the king, and the prophet said, hey, king Ahab, hey, thy servant went out of the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside. In other words, I was in the battle y'all just led. Now, he really wasn't, but he was bringing a message. It was a sermon illustration. And brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. And if so, in the chain of command, he's saying, king, someone brought me a man and said, keep this man. Now there's prisoner of war, and if by any means he be missing, then shall my commander said, in the illustration, then shall thy life be for his life, else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And so he said, look, I was charged with this POW, and I got busy, and he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, that's Ahab, so shall thy judgment be. soldier, thou thyself has decided it. In other words, you just told me what was going to happen. So you're going to die, or you're going to pay a talent of silver. And he hasted and took away the ashes from his face. So did the prophet. And the king of Israel discerned that he was of the prophets. You're a preacher. You're not one of my guys. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Therefore, you know what? We're up against a break, Doug. I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, maybe if you want to, we can come back and finish it.
Oh, yeah. We still got about 40 seconds. But I think the big things here with this whole vigilance and this whole faithfulness thing, friends, is, you know, we've got a God who has been vigilant for us. He sent his son, his only begotten son, down to be our savior. He sent down a savior for us. And they've done all these things. They prepared things for us and got us ready. I think we owe this other side. We more, it's our reasonable service to just be all in, to be vigilant about our working with the Lord, to be vigilant about our Bible reading, to be vigilant about serving God, to be vigilant about our ministries. And folks, we'll be right back with you. Hang with us.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So every day when we look at the scripture and prepare for our broadcast, we're always, you know, what scripture do we put in today? How does it fit together? And I'll tell you, as we move forward this week, I think you're going to be very happy with some of the subjects. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about personal responsibility and the virgins, and you want to be part of that in chapter 25 as we continue through the Olivet Discourse. We continue through our verse-by-verse study of Jesus' life and what we learn from that, how we can glean from that, how we can apply what Christ did in this world and can do in this world and does through our hearts, how we can apply that to our trauma, how we can apply that to our lives, how we can be better because we have Christ in our life. That's what this is all about. You know, we find ourselves over here in Matthew 24, 48 through 51, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think part of this discourse, you know, we're talking about end times again. We're making this analogy. You know, the Lord's going to come back. And we got to be ready. I remember the story about Francis of Assisi. Some people, some faiths call him St. Francis of Assisi. He was out plowing his fields one day, and someone came to him and said, Francis, you know, we're told the Lord could come back at any minute, and all you're doing out here is plowing. He says, well, I better get plowing a little more then. I need to be ready for him and to put things into perspective. And so Jesus is warning the followers here, be watchful, be faithful. You know, there's an importance about the return. There's an importance, and it should be the most important things in our life. And you know, the imagery of eating and drinking and drunken behavior, you got this idea there's a party going on with little, you know, or any spiritual responsibilities in people's minds. It's maybe a total neglect in my mind, you know, the neglect and the spiritual responsibilities here. And then the unexpected return of the Lord. Anytime, we talked about the essay, in a blink of an eye, he could be back. It could be today. Could be tomorrow, could be 5 minutes from now, and then talking about those consequences. So I think the points to ponder here as we move forward, again, is being vigilant and faithful. Are we living in an expectation of Christ's return, or are we being complacent in our faith? That's something we got to really ask ourselves about every day. Are we being complacent, or are we living like Christ coming back? If we're living like Christ is coming back, I mean, we're in the Word of God, we're studying, we're at church, we're sharing, we're bringing people with us. True servanthood is, you know, do our actions align with the profession of our faith? And, you know, one of the things in the Army, are you a true soldier? Are you doing what soldiers do? Are you ready? Are you prepared? remember, we've talked about this last week, the certainty of the judgment of God. And, you know, there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be, we're going to deal with those things. And then there's an urgency, I think, in this verse where it goes on and it talks about, you know, there's an urgency to get right with God. We need to make sure. One of the reasons we remain vigilant, one of the reasons we remain faithful is, you know, we've talked about readiness. A couple weeks prior to that, we talked about preparedness. Same kind of idea. We're really hitting on this so that we're ready when the Lord comes, so that our children are ready when the Lord comes, so that our spouses are ready when the Lord comes. So we're in a position to serve God in a wonderful way, Kevin. And I think the scripture's real here that we need to be ready. We need to be looking forward. We need to be vigilant. We need to be faithful.
Yeah, again, the context of this discourse is the disciples' question, when shall be thy coming, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and when shall the end be? And Jesus is, you know, he is explaining, I'm not going to tell you when, we don't, you know, you're not going to know when, but here's what you can do in the meantime, and in the meantime, be vigilant and faithful. And you talked about like a soldier, and I was given the, just to finish that little thought, because it fits right, dovetails in with the scripture. When the preacher was preaching to Ahab, who had dropped his guard and let Ben-Hadad go rather than POWing him or slaying him, he said, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. God said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill you. Ahab, you're done. You blew it so bad. You are such a politician rather than a statesman. Your character is so depraved that you're going to die. And then the king of Israel went to his house. This is in 1 Kings 20, verse 43. The king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. And then Jezebel stepped in, excuse me, and told him, don't be upset. We'll make sure, you know, everything will be fine. You know, anyway, they ended up killing Naboth. There was vineyard and it was a mess. But long story short, we need to be vigilant. And when Jesus was talking about, look, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming, but this is what to do in the meantime. He said, on the positive side, you know, the kind of stuff we're talking about, stay at it, keep your eyes peeled. And then on the negative, don't begin to smite, Doug, you were reading this, don't begin to smite your fellow servants and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. And I think that's really a great reminder for all of us, especially if we're in Christian service, we are servants and we don't want to, we talked about it the other day or yesterday, don't start to make the enemy the brethren. Don't turn the turret towards your own troops, all right? Yes, expose evil. Yes, tell them that Smiling Joel is washed up when it comes to gospel. Yes. But if someone is, you know, because he has success and he's not doing it your way, or especially because if he is in a geographical proximity to you where you stand to lose, you know, some of your influence to that person, it doesn't make him an enemy of God because you lose your influence. God sets up one and puts down another. When it comes to influence, stop. Just let God be God. God will fix someone that's lying against you. You just be a statesman and you hoe your row honestly and let God sort it all out. You know, so I think some people take the Marine Corps thing, kill them all and let God sort it all out. But that's not good when we're shooting at fellow preachers. But yeah, let's remember the Lord just gave us some pretty good stuff. He's like, so be sober, be vigilant. Had lunch this morning with a guy who, a pastor that I'm preaching for Sunday. He wants to have me in, deal with trauma and all that kind of stuff. But in the breakfast, he said, yeah, man, we're taking a book that was written by someone about witnessing, about the Great Commission, the greatness of the commission, I think it's what it's called. And the idea was, if what Jesus gave us to do, if his last words before going to heaven were go, teach and disciple, then what if the first thing he says when he comes back to us as servants is, hey, what'd you do with the last thing I told you before I left? And it's like, ooh, that is a good soul-searching thing. So yeah, Lord, help us to be have this attitude, faithful, vigilant. We can't let our guard down. We can't think we're self-important. That'll make us self-indulgent. Now, hang all that. We're nothing. Unprofitable servants, but we got something to do for a great God.
And boy, are we going into that unprofitable thing here tomorrow. You want to make sure you're part of that. A lady once asked John Wesley, a great preacher, a kind of the founder of the original Methodist Church, very Christian evangelical at the time. A lady once asked Wesley that suppose he were to know he would die at 12 midnight tomorrow, how he would spend the intervening time. His reply, why, madam. Just as I intend to spend it now, I would preach the evening at Gloucester and again at 5 tomorrow in the morning. After that, I would ride to Tewksbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the societies in the evening. I would go to Wren Martin's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in glory. And folks, that's where we're at. Come on back tomorrow. We're really digging in tomorrow. May God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.